It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
And he's going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzin takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP. The 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you want to join the conversation there, talking Giants football this morning until 10:30. It is OTA number 7 today, as the Giants have 4 remaining. They'll have number 7, 8, 9, and 10 this week, setting up mandatory minicamp next week, and then the players are gone basically until July 21st when they report for training camp on July 22nd. Now, one thing I want to talk about today was the start of the show, and this is kind of bouncing off what we did all week last week, having on Mickey Spagnuolo from the Cowboys, Mike Jones from the Washington Post, and Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com, breaking down those other NFC East squads. And over the weekend, I took a little time. I sat down. I thought about it a little bit. And right now, here's how I take a look at the NFC East, and we'll take your calls on what you think about the division and how you think the Giants are stacking up against these other teams as we sit here today in the middle of June, which, of course, really doesn't mean a whole lot. But it's something interesting we'd have a little bit of fun with today. And I'll start with the Giants themselves. And obviously right now, I think this team's strength, despite the Will Hill release, despite the Jaron Hosley suspension, I think this Giants team's strength is still in their secondary. John Beeson, I think, is a very good middle linebacker. The pass rush, I like what I've seen so far in OTAs, but again, without contact, who knows? JPP looks like he could have an invigorated season. We'll see if that continues. You hope DeMontre Moore can step it up in season number 2. But right now, the Giants, in my opinion, even with the pass rush that you still have legitimate questions about, are the best defense in the NFC East. Top to bottom, left and right, up and down, front to back end, the Giants have the best defense in the NFC East. I don't think it's close. They're certainly much better than the Cowboys. They're better than Philadelphia, who lacks a pass rusher, and I think they're better than Washington, who still has some issues in the secondary, especially at cornerback. I like the Redskins' front. I think they have the best pass rush in the division, best probably run defense in the division when all is said and done. Then we'll see how they replace London Fletcher. But I think overall the Giants have the best defense. The Redskins probably have the second-best defense, followed by the Eagles, and then the Dallas Cowboys. I think it'll be interesting to see what Jim Haslett does completely unfettered by Mike Shanahan. Offensively is where the questions come in for the New York Football Giants. And I'll talk about the quarterbacks in a second. But in terms of skill position players, it's tough to say, but the Giants might very well have, out of all the teams in the division, the worst set of skill position guys. And you take a look at the running backs, I like the Giants' combination of guys with Rashad Jennings and Peyton Hillis and Andre Williams. But do the Giants have anybody that's as good as DeMarco Murray's when he's healthy, LeSean McCoy when he's healthy, or Alfred Morris? I think the answer is no if you want to be fair about it. The tight end position. Jordan Reed, health concerns, but he showed a lot of promise last year. The Cowboys have Gavin Escobar and Jason Witten. Probably better than any tight end on the Giants roster. The Eagles, Brent Celek, Zach Ertz, probably better than any tight end the Giants have on their current roster. That's a problem. A wide receiver, Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, the best duo in the division. Throwing Santana Moss in the slot. Look at the Dallas Cowboys, Dez Bryant, probably the best individual receiver in the division. Complimented, as you mentioned, Jason Witten at tight end. And then you have second-year wide receiver Terrence Williams with Cole Beasley and Dwayne Harris. And then Tevin Street, who they drafted out of Pittsburgh. In terms of the wide receiver depth, I'd put the Cowboys and the Giants in the same neighborhood, but I think Dez Bryant puts Dallas over the top there. The Eagles have some legitimate questions since they let go of DeSean Jackson with Jeremy Maclin, Riley Cooper. They drafted two guys in the middle rounds, but no one you get too excited about. They drafted the kid Jordan Matthews out of Vanderbilt. So I think the Eagles have legitimate questions just like the Giants. And the Giants wide receivers might be better than the Eagles wide receivers. In fact, I think they probably are with Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham, and Ruben Randall. I think they probably have a better group of wide receivers than Philadelphia, but I think Philadelphia's double tight ends, Sproles, LeSean McCoy, puts them over the top offensively over the Giants. Then you have the quarterbacks. And look, some of these quarterbacks are going to be X-factors this year, okay? I mean, Robert Griffin III, who knows what you're going to get out of him? Is he going to be like he was as a rookie? You're not going to run as much read option this year, for sure. You are going to hope he comes back and plays better football and stays healthy. That's a good thing for the league. When a guy that's dynamic and talented like that plays, that's a good thing for football. And you want to see that. But how good is he going to be? I don't know. I really don't. No one does. Nick Foles, let's see if he has as good of a season in his second year starting as he did in his first. My guess is he'll take a little bit of a step back, but it will also help him being another year in Chip Kelly's offensive system. That'll help that entire Eagles team, and he has a lot of weapons with those tight ends and those running backs. You know, they might not ask him to do a lot throwing down the field, throw a lot of those short passes and let those guys make plays in space. That's what Chip Kelly's system is kind of settled on. Put a guy in a one-on-one matchup, let the more skilled player win. The quarterback just has to get him the ball. Usually it can be some pretty short passes, not necessarily going down the field. Then you have Tony Romo. For all the knocks people try to throw on him in terms of interceptions and big games, not be able to win the big one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's probably the most consistent quarterback in the division. I mean, look at his stats year in, year out. Regular season-wise, I mean, no one's more consistent than Tony Romo. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be there, and he's going to give the Dallas Cowboys a chance to win every football game they're in. They might lose one or two, getting a little, you know, creative. We'll see. But he is what he's an excellent quarterback. Then you get Eli Manning, and obviously I think that's a huge key for the Giants this year. A huge key. He'll have a better offensive line in front of him. You know, Chris Knee, I hope, stays healthy, but Jeff Schwartz is certainly an upgrade. Weston Richburg or J.D. Walton, whoever ends up starting at center, is going to be an upgrade over what they had last year. Justin Pugh in year two. And then the X factor to me offensively is whether or not Will Beattie can come back healthy and play and be good and be an effective left tackle. I mean, I think that is a legitimately huge question mark for the Giants and one they're going to have to figure out if they want to see what this team is gonna be this year and how far they can go. I mean, it's a fair question. How much can Will Beattie protect Eli Manning against some of those premier pass rushers? Like a Brian Arakpo, who has owned Will Beattie over the years. I like the Giants running backs. Who's going to play tight end? I got no idea. I don't think anybody does at this point. Wide receivers are good. Victor Cruz is a sure thing. Everybody else is a question mark. Everyone else is a question mark. And then can Eli Manning be consistent? As great as he's been in big spots and in the playoffs and in Super Bowls, and boy, he's been fantastic. And as good as he was in fourth quarters in 2011, one of the best fourth quarter years in NFL history, he's up and down. And he needs to step back in here, learn this new offensive system, let's see how he plays in it, step in, and do a good job. He needs to be a reliable NFL quarterback that doesn't throw 20 interceptions. He's got to keep that interceptions in the 16-17 area. He's got to get that completion percentage over 60%. Paul Schwartz had a great article last week, Rich Gannon. He says, your goal in the West Coast offense is to complete 70% of your passes, and you settle for 65. Well, Eli's career high is 62. He's only been over 60, I think, twice when I looked at the stats last week in his career. So that accuracy, especially on those short passes, is going to have to improve. And I think it will improve in the new offense. But how is everybody going to take to the new system? These are all questions, and that's why I think the Giants offensively you know, might be at the bottom in the division. While their defense might be the best, their offense theoretically could be the worst. Now they have the potential to be better than some of these other teams. If everything works out, but those are big ifs right now. And until I see some more in preseason and training camp, I'm not willing to make that call. So, and I'm not going to give you a prediction here, but if I had to break this down now in terms of favorites and underdogs, I would say the favorite right now in this division has got to be the Philadelphia Eagles. They did it last year. Though if Nick Foles is a starter all season long, Chip Kelly in year number two, if they can figure out a way to get a pass rush, you know, I think they'll be very dangerous. LeSean McCoy, Darren Sproles, those two tight ends, the wide receivers they got, I think they're going to be a very good football team. Very good football team. I really do. I think the Redskins are your wild card. With that offense, if their defense can get a little bit better and Robert Griffin III can be the player he was a couple years ago, I think the Redskins could be a good football team with all those weapons he has to get the ball to on offense. Offensively, that team could be ridiculous under Jay Gruden. You know, the Cowboys' new offensive coordinator, Scott Linehan, new defensive coordinator Rob Marinelli, who's proven he's a good defensive coordinator in this league. I think the Cowboys will once again be around 500. Maybe 9 wins. Already lost Sean Lee for the year. That defense is so bad. Unless, you know, Rob Marinelli can pull a miracle out of his, you know what. I can't imagine them winning more than 8, maybe 9 games at most. Then they got the Giants. And right now, before I've seen how this offense comes together, I'm going to put them around 9 wins too. 8 or 9 wins. Right now I think the Eagles win 10. The Redskins, Giants, and Cowboys all come in somewhere between 7 and 9 and 9 and 7. And let's see what happens. It's going to be competitive throughout. Competitive till the end. And I think it'll be a heck of a season in the NFC East once again. And I think it's going to be a better division. The records might not show up, but I think these teams are more talented than they have been in the past. So that's why I see the NFC East breaking down. Give us a call. What do you think? 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Virginia, he's been holding the longest. Mike, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good morning. How you doing?
Morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mike. What's up?
One thing I was thinking about, I haven't heard anything about it, is a position battle I've been intrigued by is the weak side linebacker. Do you know what's going on with that? I know there's Spencer Paysinger and Jaquan Williams, but I've heard there's been no articles or anything about that, so if you can enlighten us.
Well, right now, you know, those two guys are the two that are primarily in the mix. Obviously, you have Jameel McClain at Sam, and you have John Beeson, you know, in the middle. And it's interesting. I think what you're going to see is some situational play from those two guys. You know, one guy might be technically the starter, but I think both will have a lot of have different roles in that situation. We've seen in practice Jaquan Williams in a lot in the nickel because of his coverage abilities, especially on tight ends. So I think you'll see a lot. And I think in the base 4-3, you'll probably see Spencer Paysinger in there a little bit more than Jaquan Williams in terms of filling up against the run. That would be my bet. We'll see how it breaks out in, you know, training camp. But right now, that's how they're doing it.
What I saw last year was it seemed like with the arrival of John Beeson, I thought I saw Spencer Paysinger stock kind of go down, and then Jaquan Williams kind of rise up, like he played to the level of that John Beeson brought to the defense.
I think Beeson helped Williams a lot. The one issue Williams has always had is mental. You know, he's a great athlete, and we've seen him flash from time to time. Very good play. If he could ever figure out a way mentally and athletically to consistently put it together game in, game out, he could be a very good player. And while I think he did get a little bit better last year, once Beeson came in here to mentor him a little bit, I'm not sold on Williams being a consistent down-to-down performer yet. Does he have more upside than Paysinger? Yes. Will he be given opportunity to beat out Paysinger? Yes. Do I think he can do it? I'm not sure. Because Paysinger is that guy you can kind of bring in whenever you want, Mike. And you know, and he's not going to hurt you. He'll give you a solid play, and he's not going to hurt you, but he's not going to make any mistakes. Jaquan Williams can have that mental flub sometimes where it's going to screw up the whole defense.
Yeah, I understand. All right, thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate the call, Mike. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dominic in Florida. Dominic, you're up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's going on, Dominic?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, what's going on?
What's up, Dominic?
Not much, man. I just got a question to ask you. What do you think about the Giants' defensive line this year?
Boy, you know, that's one of the big question marks this year for this team, Dominic. I got to be honest with you. I mean, can JPP come back and be that dominant pass rusher? I don't know. Do we see progress from DeMontre Moore in year number two? I don't know. You would like to see that. You know, I think Colin Jenkins is very solid. I think Jonathan Hankins is very solid. I think Mike Patterson in rotation is solid. I think Kiwanuka will be okay as a rotational defensive end. So do I think it's a strength of the team? No. But I do think it, you know, how well those guys play together is going to go a long way towards determining how well the Giants play this year.
Yeah, I agree. What about the, who we drafted, Beckham Jr.? What do you think about him replacing Nix?
Well, I think asking, you know, peak Hakeem Nix production out of that guy in year number one is probably asking a little bit too much. You know, he's not quite as big and physically imposing as Hakeem Nix. He's got more speed. He's more explosive with the ball in his hands. He can even help out on kickoff returns. And remember, he kind of tweaked his hamstring a little bit last week, so hopefully we'll see him on the practice field again by the time, you know, mandatory minicamp ends next week. I'm not sure if he will or not. We'll see. Look, he has all the talent in the world to be a potential number one wide receiver in the NFL. Now he's just got to go out there, stay healthy, and do it.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, appreciate the call, Dominic. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go back to the phone and say hello to Derek down in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Derek, what's going on, pal? Derek, you there, man? All right, Derek, I'm going to put you back on hold. Maybe we'll try to pick you up in a second. Let's go to Vic in Connecticut. Vic, you're up next. What's up, pal?
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Vic. How about yourself?
I'm good. Just a couple things. The show's been really great over the last couple weeks, so I don't get a chance to call in as much anymore.
That's all right. Take your time, man. We got plenty of time.
You've done a real good job with the show, though, over the last couple weeks. So
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And congrats on your wedding.
Thank you.
I'll be 25 years and tomorrow, so yes, it does work.
Ah, congratulations.
Just a couple reasons why I think the Giants will win the division this year. I think their depth is a lot better than it was last year. And
I agree with that.
Kind of what hurt them. I think Eli is going to be more of a 25 and 15 quarterback, hopefully, than he was last year with the interceptions to completion ratio. I think nobody has film on us this year, so maybe a little bit of a surprise like Philadelphia was last year.
I agree with that. I think that's a good point.
I think we have the best coach in the division, my opinion. I think we also have the best quarterback in the division when he wants to be.
Well, I think Eli, let me put it this way. I think Eli Manning, when he plays his best ball, he's the best quarterback in the division. The problem is that there are too many peaks and valleys, in my opinion, over the course of the year.
And I would agree with that. I think we have the best defense in the division.
I agree
at this
with that
point. I think their schedule sets up well. First of all, I think, as you mentioned, the division's probably 10-6 or 9-7, so that gives them a kind of a leg in on that one. But I also think that their schedule sets up towards the end to make maybe a nice little run at the end. You know, once they get their offense together, so hopefully the end of the schedule will be a little more favorable. There is a stretch in the middle that is very unfavorable. So,
well, Vic, the funny thing about it, too, early on in this schedule, you know, there are a lot of games where you're not sure how tough they're going to be. I mean, how good are the Texans going to be this year? I mean, they could be a very good football team. I just don't know. How good are the Falcons going to be this year? I'm not sure. Are the Lions going to make a marked improvement with a new head coach, getting Jim Schwartz out of there? I don't know. I mean, those are all, like, real questions that I don't know the answer to. And remember, last year, heading into last season, going in, we're like, all right, week three at Carolina, that's a game you can win. Week four at Kansas City, that's a game you can win. And what happens? Those two teams end up being two of the best teams in their respective conferences.
And I think any of those teams definitely come back to the upside this year. They're not 6-10, 4-12
right.
teams. I think those teams are probably 500 or better. So, yeah, the competition is definitely there. I think if you just look at it from a perspective with Tennessee and Jacksonville and Washington and some others down the road, they've got a legitimate chance of winning. But like you've said all along, in June, who knows what September, October, November brings.
Yeah, Vic, I'll say this. I agree with you. If you want to find a soft landing spot in the schedule, it's November 30th at Jacksonville, December 7th at Tennessee, December 14th, home versus the Redskins. Now, some people would say December 21st at St. Louis is a soft spot. I don't. St. Louis is one of my sleeper teams this year. I think they're probably going to win 8, 9, or 10 games. I think that whole NFC West is probably going to be, you know, within that 8 to 11 win category. I think the Rams actually have a pretty darn good team this year, and that pass rush could be ridiculously deadly.
Yeah, I would agree. That's definitely not a gimme. I'm hopeful that the Giants stay together physically this year, and as they get to the back part of their schedule, they round out, you know, their skills with the new offense and stuff, and it makes that game a little bit closer. That'll be very tough on the road.
What are your X factors this year, Vic, on offense and defense? What like on each side of the ball? What are the things that you think need to happen for this Giants team to win the division?
I think offensively, I think it's probably pretty much a no-brainer. I think they've got to block it up for Eli. I mean, I think they've got some guys at skill positions with Rashad Jennings and Cruz and et cetera with the new kid Beckham. But I think it all starts at the line of scrimmage. And I think if they can give Eli the time, and if the timing is less this year than it was last year in terms of releasing the ball, they're not going to have to be totally proficient at it. They're just going to have to be a stopgap. So
that's correct.
I think Schwartz, you know, he came in with a lot of expectations. I'm actually looking at Snead to be the wild card this year, that he's healthy and then he's able to mentor Pugh, and I think that the two of them could really bring the Lions. So that on defense, I don't know. You could probably talk about the defensive line. I think their linebackers are adequate. I think their defensive line took a bit of a hit, but as some people have mentioned with DRC and Prince and some others, I still think Walter Thurman is going to be somebody who's going to really be able to solidify the defense as a leader. I think he's going to bring an attitude, you know, coming off that Super Bowl, and along with Beast, and I think they'll good. But I think their pass rush really needs to not be there consistently, but has to just show something over the years.
Yeah, Vic, I got to tell you, I've been so impressed with both Walter Thurman and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. And as you guys know, look, when they signed Cromartie, I thought it was a good signing because they got him at a good price. But I was never the biggest Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie fan. I feel like he's kind of been inconsistent throughout his career. You heard whispers of an attitude issue here and there. But I got to tell you, he's been great so far. You know, he's gotten right behind Beeson in a role. He's been a good follower and led a little bit himself in that secondary. And let me tell you, he is the fastest guy on that football field, and it's not close. And Walter Thurman has been just as good playing that slot. Those guys are going to end up being probably the two best signings of the offseason, and that's including Jeff Schwartz, which is saying something.
You know, it's kind of the chicken or the egg, you know, what came first type of thing with the defense. It's, you know, is the defensive line, do they need to be dominant if they're good in the back? And if they're not as good in the back, or they're really good in the back, does the defensive line have more time to rush? It'll remain to be seen. But I think, you know, 3 to 4, because I even like some of the guys from last year, too. Was it Tremaine McBride?
Yeah, Tremaine McBride, yep.
I thought he did a really good job.
Nah, he was solid, no question.
James, I think, you know, did a pretty good job, too. I think actually the Hall of Fame game and the early game this year is going to benefit them because of the newness of everything it's going to give them. Although I know coaches hate all the preseason games, the players do anyway. But I think that's going to give them an opportunity to play 5 games and kind of ring out this entire offense. So I see that as an advantage too. But again, that's just another game to stay healthy through.
That's true.
But I think the key to the Giants winning the NFC East will be that somehow Jerry Jones will find a way to screw up the Cowboys, which will give the Giants a 33% chance to win instead of a 25% chance to win.
Well, you know what? If you want to throw in the mix there, if Jerry Jones can screw up the Cowboys, Daniel Snyder can screw up the Redskins.
Yeah, they're both pretty good at that. Matter of fact, Daniel Snyder has more issues than just his Redskins this year. In terms of the name and stuff, he's got enough heat in D.C. right now.
No question about it.
Hey, John, one real quick question before you go. How long has this show been in existence? How long have you been doing it?
In its current form, where it's every morning like this, it's probably, let me think, we started doing this last off season, probably around like January, February, so I'd say probably a year and a half, but we've been trying to do this, we've been doing this either once or 2 days a week, probably since like 2008, give or take, but it hasn't become a 5 day a week, every morning type of phenomenon until last year.
So late 12, early 13, is what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I would say middle of 12. Middle of 12, yeah. We started doing it every day during the season. During the 2012 season, we started doing every day in the off season last year. So figure, you know, if you want to say I would say 2 to 3 years.
I would just end by saying this, and I asked for a reason, because I think I really started to either participate or listen in late 12, November, December of late 12. And I watched the show with some of the, you know, the old timers like Len going back and whatever, and the show was kind of a little bit light in the off season in terms of, like, you know, maybe after the draft and stuff like that, there was not a lot of people calling in, whatever. But I've noticed over the last year, the callers have just really come on. There's a bunch of knowledgeable people calling. This is kind of the highlight of my day, to be honest with you.
I appreciate that. I mean, thank you.
I get to share this. And plus, I have to admit, and this is going to sound like kissing up to the host, but a lot of online hosts tend to dominate the conversation a lot and tend to have too many opinions. You have enough opinions, and you don't dominate. And I think you give your callers a nice chance to express themselves, and sometimes they're a little wackier, and sometimes they're a little more knowledgeable, but the show has grown. You've done a great job, so good for you.
Vic, I appreciate it. Thanks for listening, man.
All right, take care.
You too. 201-939-4513. That's a good way to start the week. I haven't heard from Vic in a while. He's one of my favorite callers. Let's go to Derek in Atlanta, Georgia. Derek, you're up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's going on?
Hey, John. I think I had you on mute the last time.
Nah, no worries. That's okay, man.
First of all, Beckham, I don't think we need to try. Beckham needs to try to replace Hakeem Nicks. He just needs to be Beckham, and maybe Melvin Manningham to do more of the things that Hakeem Nicks did for the Giants. As far as the Giants, I think, I don't know if you broke down the special teams, but I think they're going to give them maybe a little edge up in a game or two.
That's a great point.
And I don't know, I don't pay too much attention to the other teams' special teams, but I can see a significant, improvement with the Giants special.
Well, Derek, let me think about it for a second. Right now, the Giants, I would say, between Josh Brown and Weatherford, who are both very good, they got a bevy of return guys. The Giants special teams are in very good shape. Probably, they might even be the best or second best in the division. The Cowboys actually have a very good set of special teams. Dwayne Harris, as you know, is a very good and very dangerous return guy on kicks and punts. Their kicker is probably the best in the division, the most consistent. Their punter's not great. The Eagles had kicking issues last year. So did the Redskins. And I don't think either one of those teams have dynamic return guys. I'm trying to remember. The Redskins have that tiny guy, Brandon Banks, I think, that does punts for them, something like that. You're right, though. That's a good point. The Giants special teams are much improved, and that could easily add another win to the tally right there.
I mean, I don't know if the Redskins plan on putting DeSean Jackson back there, but, you know, I guess that would make them a better if they did that. But what I was also thinking about character issues when you draft, and, you know, what do you weigh in when you're picking these people? Like, I'm thinking back to Will Hill and Jaron Hosley, some of the other players like, you know, Hernandez for New England. When do you think is good policy? Because it seems like they are coming back. Most of these character issues are coming back to bite you. You know, I know that what's his name had Marvin Austin.
I don't think Marvin Austin was a character issue thing. I think Marvin Austin was more of a fat out of shape issue.
That's one of the character issues. He's always had an excuse, not working hard and everything. That was also a part of the character problem that he had, is that he always looked for an excuse for why he wasn't, you know, playing or in shape. So
now Marvin Austin was suspended with that other group of North Carolina guys. So if you want to count that as a character issue, you can.
Yeah. And so what do you – I mean, do you just stay away from them, or do at a certain point you say, let's – you know, well, we have to take a chance because of the talent. Like, I know – what's it, Kelsey that we just picked up after the draft, the defensive lineman?
You know, it's hard to say. I don't think you can have a policy, because I think it gets too black and white. And when you talk about human beings and men – and decisions they make, and remember, a lot of these times these guys are still kids when they're making these decisions. So I don't think you can have a policy, Derek. I think you have to take it situation by situation, and you have to judge these guys as people and make the determination, and it's a tough thing to do. You have to talk to, you know, their family. You have to talk to their coaches. You have to talk to the equipment guys at the college. You have to talk to his teammates at the college and find out whether or not it's like an isolated incident where this guy made one mistake he knows he's screwed up, and he's gotten more mature since then, and he's ready to move past it? Or is this a quote-unquote bad kid? Is it a bad person that's never going to get past these issues? You know, and I think on a case-by-case basis, you kind of have to make that determination on your own. And I think whenever a guy has a risk off the field with a character thing, I think you put it into your analysis. So maybe if a guy was clean in terms of, you know, being off the field stuff, he'd be a late first round pick. Well, maybe because of the character stuff, he's a little bit more risky. Maybe that dips him into an early second round pick or something like that. But I think it has to be done on a case by case basis. I don't think you can have a uniform policy that would, apply to everybody. I just think when you're dealing with individuals, you're dealing with people. I think it's too difficult to have a blanket policy.
Yeah, I hope that the Giants, don't take, Will Hill's situation and Jayron Holmes' situation, and steer away from someone like Kelsey or, some of the other issues. I think a couple other players got a couple of issues as young for them. So, you have to put up to individuals and make individual choices on them. But before I leave, I just wanted to say the X factors for the Giants that I think is got to be Will Beatty and JPP. I mean, those two players right there is basically going to tell the Giants what kind of season they're going to have.
I agree, Derek. I was going to say that after I took Vic's call and I kind of moved on to you. I forgot to bring it up, but I could not agree more. If there's one guy on both sides of the ball and it's two guys we're going to see go up against each other, at some point in training camp, whenever Will Beatty gets back onto the field and is healthy, to me, how is Will Beatty going to protect Eli's blind side? How is JPP going to get after the opposing quarterback? And the answer to those two questions could very well determine if this is a 7-9 year or a 9-7 or 10-6 year. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate the call, bud. 201-939-4513. Carl is in Charlotte. Carl's been holding the longest. Carl, what's going on?
How are you doing, John?
I'm doing great, Carl. How are you?
Not bad. Just to get about the Giants in the division, I think they have the best defense in the division. I agree with you on that. I think if Will Hill would have just passed and not puffed, we would have had a top three defense. But still, we're probably the best defense in the division. I don't think it's fair that anybody tries to rate Eli Manning on last year, because his left tackle, Will Beatty, he was horrible last year. It was bad. And the inside of the line was on and off, switching guys in and out, and just skittish altogether. So you can't rate him. You can't rate Terrell Jernigan. You can't rate Victor Cruz. You just can't. If the quarterback's not having time and there's no run game, I mean, can you really judge that year? Or do you just have to give it a pass?
I think
you have to just give it.
I think I agree, yeah. Carl. You have to take what happened last year with a grain of salt because of the play of the offensive line. I think there's something to be fair to be said like that. However, I will say this too. Eli has had bad years even when the offensive line has been better. So he has been up and down over the course of his career.
But that was early on, don't you think? That was earlier on in his career, don't
you think?
I mean,
2000, what year was it? Was it 2009? Let me look at his numbers here. 1 second. Let me go. Eli Manning, career stats. I believe Eli, and yes, early on, obviously, 2006, 2007, 2005, obviously Eli was kind of still coming along then. Later on, though, and I think it was 2010 or 2009, and if this webpage would load here, I'll be able to tell you which one. That was his first over 20 interception year. Let's see here.
I mean, I'm not going to say Eli chucks it up. He chucks it up, and he throws high, and he does chuck it up sometimes. And
right.
You think you're going to get sacked. I don't know. I just don't think, if you think you're going to get sacked every time you drop back, aren't the chuck-ups going to be more and worse?
No, I agree. No question about it. And the year I was talking about was 2010. That's when he had 31 touchdowns and 25 interceptions that year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just don't think it's fair to judge. I think the defense is going to be great. I think we've got good enough in every position. There's mostly teams that are really good in just one position, offense, defense, special teams, they probably don't, you know, finish out the season and win it all. But I think we're good enough. We're kind of like, you know, the Patriots, who are good in every single facet of football, offense, defense, special teams. And, you know, I think we're good enough right now, on paper anyway, at least on paper.
I agree. Look, Carl, there's no question. I think the Giants right now have enough talent on this roster to win the division. If they can stay healthy, you know, guys step up and play up to their talent ability, this team certainly has enough here to win the division. I don't think there's any doubt.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate the call, pal. Good to hear from you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Taiwan in New York. I think this is Taiwan. What's going on?
Yo, Taiwan from Patterson, man. How you doing?
I'm sorry, Taiwan. What's going on, man? My bad.
No problem, man. These projectors, man, it got us going 6-10, 7-9-ish. And
who's that?
The projectors, man, the so-called projectors. when they project us to go 6-10, 7-9, and it's like, are they looking at, we stacked up on offense, we stacked up more on defense this year, and special teams. So I'm wondering, what are they looking at still? Like, what don't they get about this season we're gonna have?
Yeah, look. I don't get 6-10. I mean, things would have to go really wrong for this team to go 6-10. I mean, major
right.
guys would have to get hurt. Eli would have to play terribly again. I would be shocked by 6-10. I mean, 7-9, a couple bad bounces, maybe I could see it. But I think this team certainly has the talent to at least go .500 this year, 8-8. So to me, assuming there aren't any catastrophic injuries and, you know, things that are really out of character, I would say 8-8 is probably the low end for this group at this point, and 7-9 if, you know, a lot of things go wrong.
All right. I honestly say I think they're capable of going 10-6, 11-5.
Sure they are.
Five.
Oh yeah, they have the talent for it.
Of course, and I also feel like this team right here, right now, is going to be very similar to that 2007 Super Bowl team, man. I really feel that, man. I really feel like the defense is going to get after it. I feel like all the safety is going to be intact to the point where, you know, we're not thrown on as much as last year or ran on. You know, I feel like this team is going to be a very strong, sound group, and Coughlin has a lot to do with it also. I give him so much praise and so much honor, man. You know, it's crazy, but I love this team, man. I love the way it's going, man. I can't wait to training camp.
Yeah, you know what, Tuan? I'll say this. I believe this team, like you said, I agree with you, is built a lot more like the 2007 team than it is like the 2011 team, in that they'll run the ball a lot more. The defense will probably be better than the offense. They don't have the pass rush that the 2007 team had, which is fine. They have a better secondary. That's okay. But I do think in terms of how the games will be played and how the Giants will win games, I think this will be much more similar to 2007 than it will be to 2011.
Right. One more thing, man,
yeah.
Before I let you go. I know you be at the facility all the time at OTAs, man, and I read something about a couple of days ago. And they were saying that, Coughlin said it himself. He said they look like his kids on the soccer team, man, for the first time, his little grandkids. So what do you see in them trying to get this new offense in Ben McAdoo, man?
Well, I'll tell you what. The last two OTAs have been encouraging. Honestly, much like Coach said, the first two or three, the offense looked like a mess. It looked
okay.
Sloppy. It looked out of sync. At times, in 7-on-7s without a pass rush, they couldn't even complete a pass. I mean, it looked bad at times. You know, Tom said it, and I agree with him. But you know what? I think that's natural. You know, the guys in this defense, most of them, you know, have been in this system before. And defense always comes along faster than the offense. Every year in training camp, you say the same thing the first week of practice. You say, wow, the defense is so far ahead of the offense. So I think that it's just a cyclical thing. I think that's where we are right now, and I wouldn't worry about it. But I think the offense, the last couple of practices, took some steps, and they looked a lot better, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I know it's natural, man. I actually like that because, you know, who's going to get a new offense, you know, coming from – he came from Green Bay. He was with the Niners. So, you know, he's going to tweak it up, and I can't wait to see the screen plays and, you know, all the bubble screens and wide receiver end arounds and all of that type of stuff that'll bring our game to a whole new level, man. I'm just so excited. I can't wait to August, man, September. First game in Detroit. I can't wait to that.
Hey, Tijuan, neither can I, my friend. Thanks for the call, bro.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too, man. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. A couple other things I've noticed from OTAs. Remember, we got four of them this week, so I'll try to give you my take as you go along this week on how I think the team's looking. I have seen, the first week it wasn't that great. They ran them, but they weren't great. But the last couple of days, I've seen some screen passes that have looked good. Seriously. They've looked pretty good. Those of you that's watched Giant football the last couple of years, that's pretty dramatic. I've seen a tight end screen. I've seen wide receiver screens. I've seen running back screens. And they've been run efficiently. How about that? Wonders never cease. And I'll give a little other hint. I can't give out details on this because Pat Hanlon will run in here and, you know, off with my head. I've even seen a trick play run during practice. Can't tell you what it is, but it worked in practice, and I couldn't believe my eyes. It's a little trickery. Now, we've seen that in training camp before, and then they never actually use it in the game. It's in the playbook, they just never use it. So maybe that's going to, you know, stay the case here. But I can tell you, I saw a successfully run trick play during OTAs. And it was well done. And I'll leave it at that. 201-939-4513. We got a few more calls on the line. We'll take them before we say goodbye. Let's go to Charlie up in Portland, Maine. Charlie, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, John. How you doing today?
Charlie, now, are you one of those projectors that have them going 6-10?
Of course. He was touting my expertise. That's who he was talking about, I'm sure.
Now, Charlie, you have to admit,
I
think you'll agree with me. Is it fair to say that the Giants have the best defense in the NFC East? Come on. Get on board, Charlie. Get on board.
Well, the only problem I see with their defense is, like I said before, is their pass rush.
Right.
When we had Spags, we had the NASCAR package. Now with Fuel, we have the go-kart package. And it's like nobody gets there.
What if I told you JPP had double-digit sacks this year?
That would help. But if they're going to, like you were saying before, that they would probably rush other people, like a linebacker or a safety. But when you do that, when you don't get the pass rush with the four guys, then you're opening yourself up to vulnerability on the other end.
Well, but yeah, you know what, though, Charlie? That's why you pay Dominic Rogers-Cromartie big-time money. That's why you use a first-round pick on Prince and Mukamara, and that's why you bring in Walter Thurman.
All right. Now, we want to get into talking about depth. Oh, just about Marvin Austin, I thought it was a little bit unfair. I mean, the guy had, like, a torn bicep, I think it was, when he first came in. He was out for a year for that.
Yes, that's correct.
And the Giants knew that. And it took him a while to get back. And then he played in the preseason against the Jets. He played very well. And then we cut him, of course. And now he's with Denver. So we'll see what happens.
No, well, Charlie, remember, when they drafted Marvin Austin, he wasn't hurt. He got hurt in training camp when he got here. So he wasn't hurt before he got here.
No, he was. He was hurt before.
No, he was suspended his final year in North Carolina. That's why he didn't play there.
Oh,
and then Marvin
suspended.
Austin.
Okay.
And then Marvin Austin hurt himself. Okay. In the off-season workout program here. And I think he tore a pec, if I remember right.
Yeah. Anyway, that took him a while to get back on the field.
You know, he actually hurt himself in the first preseason game, Charlie.
Okay. I knew something happened in North Carolina, but I thought it was because he was injured and the Giants took a shot at him. But,
that's okay. No worries.
So, anyway, just in I think we did have depth on the defensive backfield until we got rid of Hill, and now Hosley's out for four games. So, you know, if we don't have any injuries, I think we'll be fine. I think we'll have, the best defense in the division. But if we lose one guy back there like a Roll or a Thurman, where are we?
Yeah, but you know what, Charles, you can say that about every team. What happens if the Redskins lose Brian Arakpo? What happens if, you know, heck, the Cowboys already lost Sean Lee. What happens if the Eagles lose, you know, one of their best players in the secondary? I mean, the way the NFL is now, you just don't have that many great players. That's just the nature of the beast.
Well, that's why you should have kept somebody like Hill and just see what happens. But that's besides the point. And I think the biggest problem we have is left tackle. Because when you have James Brewer starting as the first left tackle in your OTAs, you've got a problem.
Oh, that's fair. I can't argue that. I can't argue that, Charlie. I can't.
And then you have Charlie Brown, we might as well bring Linus and Pigpen in to play the other position. I mean, Charlie Brown's fine. He's a veteran. I'd rather see him there than James Brewer, to tell you the truth, or Mosley. But I think we need to, hopefully we'll address it. Maybe a veteran will get cut and we pick up another, you know, a left tackle, just in case BD, you know, can't come back on time. But I think if he does come back, I think last year it was just a bad year for him. I think it was just a bad year for the whole line, and I think having the guy next to him and not knowing who he was and how he was going to protect, I think he, just like Eli, I think they just kind of pushed, you know, the panic button a bit. I mean, Eli had to try to make throws, and Beattie was, like, you know, I think overcompensating for the lack of consistency in the offensive line. So hopefully he'll come back and he'll play, you know, like he did before, at least. So, you know, that's the best hope. You know, if not, I think left tackle is going to be a serious problem if we don't get that addressed.
Yeah, Charlie, I'll say this. If you can't get Beattie back here, I think you're going to see Justin Peele over at left tackle. I don't think the Giants can afford to have Brewer or Charlie Brown start at that, you know, left tackle spot. Here's what I think the Giants will do. They'll evaluate Beattie over the next month or so. They'll get the training camp. They'll put him through a physical. If Will Beattie is able to start in training camp week one and, you know, play left tackle, that's great. They won't change anything up. If they get to training camp and they decide we got to, you know, put Beattie on pup here because we don't think he's ready to practice yet, maybe for 2, 3, 4 weeks, I think you'll see Pugh at left tackle the first day of training camp. I don't know that. I haven't talked to anybody. Nobody's told me that. That's just my guess.
And we got some big guys in the offensive line. We got that guy Baker, who's like 6'8", 300 and whatever pounds. He he's very athletic, what I read about him, and he should be a really good right tackle. So that might be a possibility there. And, hey, John, when you watch these next OTAs coming up,
give me
a little report on how Emmanuel Dyke's doing. if he's standing out at all.
Yeah, Charlie, the problem with offensive and defensive linemen, it's so hard to tell because you can't really have
hitting.
Contact. I know.
I
wish I could have a better report for you, but you know what? When the threes and fours are out there, I will keep my eye on them, and I'll let you know what I see.
Yeah. Just let me know. Just see if he's got some, you know, strength or he's got some real, you know, he's fast. He can get around the corner really quick.
Sounds good, Charlie.
All right. Thanks, John.
Hey, be good, bud. Final call of the show before I hit up your questions on Twitter, and I got a bunch of them. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, you're up next.
Hey, what's up, John? You saw the screen passes. And you were looking for Tiki Barber.
Exactly. Yeah, Look, we haven't seen the Giants run a good screen pass since Tiki was here.
It's good to be back from Thailand.
Oh, yeah, how was it?
It was great, but the heat, it was like we were there for 3 weeks, so
Whew. It
was a little bit too much travel, like too many hotel, you know, too much travel. But
no, I hear you.
The first time we went to the beach for me there, it was beautiful. And what beach, do you know which beach you're going to?
We will be down in the – we actually just booked our intra-country flights yesterday. We will be in the Phuket area. We haven't picked out exactly which beach down there yet. We're going to try to find, like, a quieter one south of Patong. So somewhere down there, probably on the southwestern coast of Phuket is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's rated the second most beautiful beach on earth.
Yeah, I know. I'm very excited.
The James Bond film, The Man with the Golden Gun, was filmed on those beaches.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't go all the way south. But you're saying that you can take a plane to the south?
Yeah, you know what? And it's cheap. It, it It's only it's only about a $60 flight from Bangkok down to Phuket, so it's not bad. The other place we were thinking about going was Koh Samui, which is up by the Southern Gulf area, which is also very beautiful. But they didn't have some of the other activities we wanted to do, so we decided to go down to Phuket instead.
Right, we had from Bangkok to Chiang Mai. The city's in the north, and that's where her parents live in the north. It's like a $45 flight to get up there, something like that. But don't worry if it rains, because it's the best when it cools, cools things off. Drink ice water. Just think that you're going to the Giants
training camp.
Because you're getting away from work, but it'll feel like that.
Yeah, Andrew, what I heard is that the weather's kind of like Florida in rainy season, where it'll rain really hard for like an hour or two, then it'll stop and it'll be nice, right?
Exactly, and it's better, actually, during the rainy season, because it fits your vision of Thailand, tropical and lush. Like, the first time I went was in the dry season, and it was kind of a disappointment because it wasn't as stunning, as I pictured in the movies, in the Vietnam movies.
Right.
A lot are shot in Thailand. And this, I just got, enough rain. The rice paddies are, spectacular. They're all neon when they sprout up. Neon
oh, really? Green. I didn't know that.
And it makes a big difference. Like, when I went the first time, most weren't in season. And as I was getting there, they were planting them, and I saw them sprout, and it's real stunning. And when you drive through the mountains, the bamboo arches, over the highway. It's real spectacular, and I'm sure you'll have a great time. And I just want to say, on the Giants, I was listening to you. I called you from there, and I also listened to a couple shows from there.
Nice.
But that's the thing. You'll be in a resort, and for the first couple weeks, we were in a parents' house or relatives, and sometimes there's only one air condition and you're ready to pass out and that kind of thing. But when you're in a resort with AC, we got to the resort on the beach, and the whole place, villa right on the beach, had AC, and I was listening to you and Jake at night, because it's nighttime when the show's on there. And the one mistake that people made is that also Lance said that Plexico, that they cut the ties with him because, his incident. And just real quick, sorry for talking about Thailand, but my father-in-law is a high-up police officer, and he has a handgun in a little bag in the car, and I was sitting next to him. So unbeknownst to me, there was a gun next to my hip.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of Plexico, what if it goes off? But he said the bullets aren't. The bullets are in his pocket, the clip.
Right, exactly.
But there's no curfew or anything. We were in Bangkok when the military coup, we saw nothing at all. And they lifted all the curfews and all the tourist areas, so everything is cool.
All right, good
but,
to know.
But the Plexico, they did bring Plexico back, and he did have a workout with the team. So everyone was saying, Plexico was, they cut the ties because he was a bad guy, but that's not true. They brought him in. I guess they figured he was past his prime. He mouthed off, got in a, debate or whatever with Coughlin, told him he's got to be better. Because I listened to an interview on ESPN, and he was like, Tom's Tom. And
right.
I told him he's got to respect the players. But Coughlin changed his personality, so Plex is wrong on that account. In 07, he became more personable and nicer. And also they signed, if you remember, Christian Peters, a defensive lineman who was convicted and admitted to sexual assault. So it's not just that they're squeaky clean. I just was listening to the debate about Will Hill, and I'll end it by saying that in no way am I promoting marijuana, but if Plexico was stoned and watching video games, playing Madden football, eating spicy wings or pizza, keeps them out of trouble.
I hear you.
You know, instead of a drunken brawl or something. But my ex-player, everyone's saying, is the left tackle, Beattie, and then the JPP, but also the Montre Moore and Kiwanuka are going to provide, hopefully, pass rush, so I put them in there. And my other ex-player, I don't even know his name, the guy from Denver that's replacing
Tom. J.D. Walton?
Yeah, I think those three players, they're going to have to, you know, provide some pressure. It can't all be on JPP. So I think those three as a group providing pass rush, playing that, you know, roving linebacker hybrid position. So those are my players. And if I don't talk to you before your wedding, have a great wedding. Congratulations.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate the call. And thanks for the good info on Thailand, man. Good. I'm happy you had a good time.
Thanks.
All right, take it easy, man. There we go. See, now I'm feeling even a bit better. Andrew, give me the lowdown. I like it. All right, let me go through some Twitter stuff here. You guys did a good job on Twitter this morning. Want to recognize you folks out there. Mike Farmer at MFarmer20, no need to rush Beckham back for only OTAs. Not important in the grand scheme. Be overly cautious if need be. I think that's an excellent point, and somebody else agreed with that tweet. Let me see if I can find it. Can't find them right now, but that I agree with that. I think that's a good point. No, don't rush him back. If you can get him back to get him work and learn the system, that's great. Remember, he's only had, two OTAs? Beckham? He was here for the first one. Then he went to the rookie thing for the next two. He missed those. Then he was in number four. Was he in five and then he missed six, or did he miss five? I think he missed five and six, right? Yeah, so he's only been in actually two OTAs, so you like to see him get a little bit more work in. But, yeah, I wouldn't rush him back. Obviously, you got to make sure that hamstring is healthy. No question about it. Tony Allen, Giants win the division because we are the only team with a good defense. The rest are hard. We'll be ranked 20th at best. I think the Redskins could be ranked a little higher than that, Tony. They do a good job of creating turnovers, but I agree. The Giants do have the best defense in the division, and that's going to be what's going to win it for them if they figure out a way how to do it. At Black Caesar, McGride and James did a great job last year. Hope we don't turn away from them. I don't think we're going to, you know, I think McBride's going to be on this roster. He's still recovering from a little offseason injury. Charles James, I've liked what I've seen from him in OTAs, actually. He's very active. He has a couple interceptions. He was a good special teamer last year as a gunner. I like Charles James. I think he has a chance to make it. I really do. Mike Farmer with the extra preseason game. How will that affect our usual preseason playing time rotation for the starters? I'll say this. I don't think it will. I think the fourth game will remain the same. And I think you'll treat the Bills game and the Steelers game the same way you would treat the first preseason game. So you'll probably get a quarter, maybe a quarter plus of action from the starters in each one of those first two games. Let's see. What else do we got here? Shane Kinlon, it's been a long time since I've been able to chime in on BBKL. Hard not to be concerned about the pass rush. JPP, Kiwi Ayers, I don't know. Well, I think JPP and DeMonte Moore are the two guys with the talent that can become big-time pass rushers. That's who you keep an eye on. At Trina NY, at KTNT20, one of our loyal listeners and tweeters, sometimes the interceptions Eli threw last year were his fault, and it wasn't the line not protecting him. The turnovers need to go. Look, and she's right. There's no question. I mean, Eli last year, even when the rush wasn't there, still made some bad decisions with the football. I think he was probably desperate. He wanted to make a play, and he forced things. That does have to stop. I agree. Nathaniel points out, even in that 25 interception year I mentioned, Eli still had an 85 rating, which, considering the 25 picks, it's not bad. He threw for over 4,000 yards that year. Anthony and Phoenix, the OTAs seem they're doing a lot of the short game. How about a quarterback sneak on fourth and one? Mike Farmer disagrees with that. I have not seen them work on the quarterback sneak. John Provisero, I haven't seen a decent tight end screen from the Giants since Collins to Shockey. I think that's fair. And again, I think since Tiki, in terms of a good screen to a running back. People like Charlie's go-kart line package. Eric Waiters, 11-5, 12-4 if they're healthy. I think that's a little optimistic. I think 12-4 in the schedule will be a little bit rough. A couple people, including Avery, asking about Mike Crabtree coming in the tight end. I have not heard that. I guess there were some reports that he was coming in. But let me say this about Michael Crabtree. You know, he's been in this league a while. He hasn't done a ton. So I wouldn't go nuts about that in terms of catching. I think he'll give you the same thing that, you know, Kellen Davis will give you. And finally, David Bryant, who's the fastest player on the team. Anybody challenged to a race? No. No races, David. But I'd say Dominic Rogers Cromartie is probably the fastest guy in this team. You can throw Beckham into the mix, David Wilson at top speed maybe, but those are the guys I throw into the mix for fastest guys on the team. Everybody, good job. Thanks for joining us this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We thank the callers. We thank the folks on Twitter. Good conversation. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus will join us, talk about some of the Giants' offseason moves. And they recently released, Pro Football Focus did, their secret superstars on each team. Who are the Giants? We'll find out tomorrow. Tune in. Big Kickoff Live at 9:30 right here on Giants.com. We'll talk to you then.